In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now is the time in the course of the liturgy when we have the sermon. Everybody settles back in their seats, and I talk to you. This is different from those parts of the liturgy where there's music. Music is always a very emotive experience. Many times when our choir sings, or even when we sing hymns, we don't really pay much attention to the words. For instance, when we were singing that last hymn, that gradual, I could tell no one was paying attention to the words. I couldn't hear a word you were singing. I digress. We might not hear the words, but that's okay. Music has an emotional impact, touching our hearts, moving us before it gets to our minds. But the sermon is supposed to be something that does business with our minds. A sermon consists of words. You're quiet, attentive, ready to receive my words. And most of my words in a sermon are ideas. And you sit there receiving these ideas, turning them over in your mind, thoughtfully considering what I'm saying. Some of you might pull out a pencil and piece of paper and take notes. You've heard an idea and you want to remember that idea later. The organ music, even the words of the hymns, these are all, first of all, matters of the heart. But a sermon is something for the head. I remember some years ago doing a survey of what people expect in congregations. Of course, this was an Episcopal church, and perhaps that's why I got the response that I received. The predominant response to what are you looking for in a sermon was, I like a sermon that helps me think about things in a new way. In fact, I've often heard people criticize sermons for being trivial or superficial or not making much sense. The assumption is that the sermon is part of our worship that should be thoughtful and rational, a cognitive experience. But then what do we do with a scripture like today's gospel? Jesus had fed the hungry multitudes. He had performed some spectacular works, and therefore, when Jesus mentions bread, the crowds get excited and ask him for some of this bread. We're in a context here where a lot of people knew what real to honest to goodness hunger was like. Most Middle Eastern farmers in the Roman Empire worked every day, eking out an existence in the dry soil, just to try and put some bread on the table for their families. Therefore, there were numerous famines in the land, and they were under tremendous financial pressure from the Roman government. So you can imagine the excited response when Jesus mentions bread. How wonderful it would be to have someone who could provide us bread miraculously, instantly, give us wonder bread, so to speak. Give us bread that will never end. Now, the Church of St. Michael and St. George has a ministry that makes sandwiches for the hungry. We have a ministry that prepares breakfast for those living in a homeless shelter. So you see, even in the land of affluent plenty, there are those who go to bed hungry, perhaps particularly the very old and the very young. Jesus provided bread for hungry multitudes. And we can't worship Jesus without making bread a spiritual issue and hunger a concern for our church. And yet Jesus says to the hungering crowds that something even more significant than hunger and assuaging it is going on here. When Jesus speaks of bread, no doubt there were many in that crowd who remembered the way God provided for those Hebrew children in the wilderness during the Exodus. God liberated the Israelites from Egyptian slavery. But freedom from slavery is not much good if you're starving to death in your freedom. Therefore, God provides bread in the wilderness. So what's Jesus going to do now? But Jesus speaks of this bread in a very different way. He says to them, in effect, you want some bread? I am bread. feed on me. Throughout the Gospel of John, various names are given to Jesus by his followers, and Jesus boldly claims other names for himself. He is Lord. He is Savior of the world. He is light. He is the Word. Now Jesus says, I am bread. What does it mean for Jesus to name himself as bread? And what does it mean to those of us who follow Jesus to regard him as bread? I read about a young clergy person who did an experiment with his congregation. On a series of Sundays, as people filed out of the church, he handed random people pencils and pieces of paper. He asked each of them to write down all the ideas they could remember from his sermon. People rarely wrote down more than one or two ideas. Even though the sermon might have had a number of ideas, and sometimes the ideas people wrote down were not ideas you would have found in the manuscript of the sermon. People even turned in blank sheets of paper without even one idea remembered from the sermon. After I read about this, I was talking about it in a clergy group with an African-American pastor from a nearby church. He listened to this report and then he said, "Who told you that the point of the sermon is ideas?" I said, as I said at the beginning of this sermon, "Well, I'm an Episcopalian. What else could sermons be about other than ideas?" He responded, saying, "I'm not so interested in attempting to deliver ideas to my people. I would rather provoke among them an experience of the presence of the risen Christ. That's why I preach, to foster a relationship, a passionate, engaging relationship, not to have them think about ideas." Here we are coming to church on Sunday morning, expecting we are going to hear some ideas about Jesus. We hope the ideas will be interesting. We may hope that the ideas will be congruent with other ideas we've had about Jesus previously. We hope the ideas will be congruent with the ideas we hear on our favorite cable news channels. But today's gospel suggests that the main thing we get during this time of worship, including the act of worship, that is the sermon, are not ideas about Jesus, but Jesus. Let's be honest. Sometimes we have ideas about Jesus. We debate ideas about Jesus. We debate whether they're orthodox or unorthodox in an unconscious attempt to avoid Jesus. Ideas about Jesus can be less threatening than Jesus. I remember once listening to someone who was introduced as a Christian apologist. This is someone who makes brilliant arguments on behalf of Christianity, somebody who had just the right argument to counter agnostic reservations. And he did have some great arguments. Many of them were knockdown proofs of Jesus, as far as I was concerned. I did worry that in his presentation of the Christian faith, there may be some who heard him that got the wrong impression, namely that Christianity was a set of odd ideas and primitive beliefs that we were supposed to consider and then agree with. He talked about the Christian worldview, the Christian philosophy of life. Today's scripture from the fourth gospel dares to be more intimate and more involving. The Christian faith is more than a set of ideas. It is a person. It is more than an argument. It is a relationship. Jesus was called teacher, but he was a teacher who became what he taught. With Jesus, to borrow from Marshall McLuhan, the medium is the message. Jesus in today's gospel does not debate his critics or his friends or their ideas. Rather, he makes an astounding statement about himself. He says that he's bread. He doesn't ask us to agree with him or to understand him. He asks us to ingest him. We are to relate Jesus in much the same we relate to a loaf of home-cooked bread straight out of the oven. We are to relate to Jesus the same way that a person who hasn't had a good meal in a couple of weeks responds when a home-cooked meal is put in front of him or her. Jesus is not content to let us stand back with our own arms folded and coolly, dispassionately consider him. He wants us to embrace him. He wants to embrace us. He wants to get up close and personal. He wants us not simply to agree with him, but feed on him, that he may dwell in us and we in him, as the Book of Common Prayer puts it. The test of my sermon is not whether I succeed in presenting a coherent set of ideas in a worthwhile way. The test of my sermon is not even if you as a listener have found it interesting or engaging. The test of my sermon is what you do with the sermon, or more specifically, what you allow the sermon to do with you. A sermon is validated in its performance. The Christian faith is not meant just to be pondered coolly and dispassionately. It is meant to be performed, engaged. These are ideas that are meant to incarnate our lives. The bread that we receive from Jesus is meant to be the bread for the world. The thoughts that we have in church are meant to sprout wings, sprout feet, sprout helping hands. We are to receive what Jesus has to give in the very way we receive food. We are to allow him to nourish us by getting deep inside of us, by flowing through us, by becoming so much a part of us that it is an experience too deep for words. Amen.